Hey guys, it is the Modern Christian Dudes podcast, now live streaming on Facebook. So we hope you guys join the party, join the team. It is a post 4th of July edition of the Modern Christian Dudes podcast with the one and only Funko Pro Greg Walden. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Did you have a wonderful 4th of July?
Yep. Just sat around the house and chilled.
Mine was on the verge of destruction. We're going to cover some things regarding this, but I am such a huge fan of the hot dog eating championship that takes place every 4th of July. Coney yeah. Island, New York, Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Championship, and one Joey Jaws Chestnut, who was the 15-time Mustard Belt champion, but now is the 16-time Nathan's Hot Dog Champion.
He's the Tom Brady of hot dog eating.
So what happened is there was rain delay. So what happened, it was really weird. My boys and I were out hanging out a little bit, and we go to McDonald's. We mowed the yard. We go to McDonald's. I said, okay, you can get some Sundays for mowing the yard. So we go into McDonald's. I'm like, oh, it's 4th of July. It's like 12 o'clock, and I knew it was right around that time. So I hop on the YouTube and see the contest going on live. And then I was like, whoa, this is so cool. And then my phone died. And I was like, oh man. And I didn't have my charger in my vehicle. So I get home because I wanted to see the end result, you know, because he was in the one I was watching was crushing it. And so sure enough, I get home and they're like, hot dog eating championship canceled. And I was like, wait, what? I was just watching it. Come to find out they were just showing replays because they're filling gap time because of weather delay. So the women's championship goes through, but then there was rain delay. Well, they did start it back up a couple hours later. So it got our boy Joey Jaws Chestnut a little off kilter. You know, he was prepared, then he had to wait and didn't know if it was even going to happen. But so he downed 62 hot dogs once again to become the champion.
Well, see, that delay could be a killer because by that time your body has already gotten the I'm full signal and like I can't eat no more.
Yep.
So the key to eating contests is basically eating so fast before your body can say, hey, I'm full.
Right. So his record is 76, so far cry from 76, but now the 16-time Mustard Belt champion of the world, Joey Jaws Chestnut. I think I like him better than LeBron James now.
Oh, Lord. We know the Raptors close now.
Okay. So I love that. People think it's so gross and nasty, but I think it's wonderful. I still, in honor of one Kelly Stevens, we still got to make that epic men's road trip to go see it someday. That's my dream. So anyway, but on top of that, what the connection point I want to make as we're talking news, sports, and God is that I'm trying to find this. I haven't found it, but Pepsi is launching a condiment made specifically for hot dogs. Did you hear about this?
No, I have not heard
of it. Okay, let me read it. Pepsi Cola apparently operating an assumption that people enjoy both soda and hot dogs and therefore have no qualms about combining the two of them in the same food item is launching a new cola-flavored condiment intended to top Frankfurters a la ketchup or mustard. It's called Cola Chup.
But, you know, I know as strange as that sounds, if you look at a lot of like ribs and stuff and chicken, people will actually marinate those in Dr. Pepper. I know the ones I've seen with Dr. Pepper, but I'm sure you can do with other carbonated beverages, but they actually turn out pretty good. So that might actually be good.
Yeah, I'm not completely turned. I mean, it sounds a little weird, but I want to try it. So I actually tried to find it in Walmart the other day, couldn't find it. So here's my understanding. It's called Cola Chup. The new condiment was developed by Pepsi and the Culinary Institute of America's consulting division. The concept is both simple and creative. Dave Kamen, the director of client experience for CIA Consulting, was quoted as saying in a press release, the distinctive flavors and vibrant citrus blend of Pepsi enhances the bright and tangy characteristics of ketchup, offsetting the smokiness of the hot dog. Specifically, Cola Chup is made with a Pepsi reduction, smoked tomatoes, onion, ketchup, and a delightful blend of clove, cinnamon, thyme, oregano, and paprika, according to Pepsi representatives.
So it's already been released then?
It has been released. Okay. So what I'm getting at in some of the things, here we go. Unfortunately, it's unlikely that most consumers will ever get to taste Cola Chup's flavors for themselves. The condiment will only be available on July 4th at sampling carts within four MLB ballparks, Chase Field in Phoenix, Yankee Stadium in NYC, Target Field in Minneapolis, shout out to Minneapolis where I went to college, my alma mater, and North Central University, and Comerica Park in Detroit. So I guess it was only in four major league ballparks.
I wouldn't dash anybody's hopes. I would presume that they're kind of like testing the waters to see how it flies with the consumers, and if it flies really well, they may actually start producing it. You never know. Yeah,
I want to try it. I'm a hot dog guy. Love good hot dog, and I find it to be fascinating.
So maybe as a show, we should reach out. Maybe we should reach out to Pepsi as a show.
There you go.
MCD wants to.
Yeah, they need the like YouTubers with all the video equipment that we watch. Yep. Sometimes they. You know, got to have those guys hype up the product so as to
Hey, Pepsi, send us some Pepsi chip.
All right. Then moving on, I'll do one more food item here. We're on a food kick now, but I found this article on churchleaders.com. Chick-fil-A rules the roost. Topping restaurant survey 9 years in a row. So if you guys, how many of you love Chick-fil-A? Shout out to Chick-fil-A. Anybody love Chick-fil-A?
I love Chick-fil-A.
Put some comments in the chat below. I am indifferent in one sense. I don't dislike it. I just don't ever think of going there, kind of thing.
Yeah, well, not a destination place I would travel, 300 miles to go eat at.
Yeah.
But if you're in the mall or something like that, get hungry, it's right there,
Yep. And they always have good service, really fast.
Yep.
Treat you well. It's their pleasure to serve you. For the 9th consecutive year, Chick-fil-A has topped a customer satisfaction survey of U.S. fast food restaurants. The Atlanta-based chain, known for its chicken sandwiches and conservative values, again received the most points, 85 out of 100 on the latest American Consumer Customer Satisfaction Index, for short, called the ACSI. In the 2022-23 ACSI survey, 16,250 randomly selected Americans rated fast food chains on benchmarks ranging from food order accuracy and checkout speed to menu variety and staff courtesy and helpfulness. So there you go. Chick-fil-A, once again, on top of the world.
Good chick.
And everywhere around here where we're at, it's just constantly busy. So they got to be making tons of money.
Yeah, we've got three of them in Joplin.
Yeah. One other food note, which I don't know why, where this came from, and I found out some youth. Have you seen the Grimace Shake videos? Now they're all the rage.
I've seen that. So
there's the new Grimace Shake. Now, if you go on Instagram Reels, this has been on my Instagram Reels, the Grimace Shake. So what's going down is, everyone's like, hey, I got the new Grimace birthday shake. Happy birthday, Grimace. And immediately it pans over to them, being killed with the Grimace Shake, dumped on their... They're acting this out.
Yeah.
So the story, I like, and then some of them are really creepy. I'm like, what is up with all these Grimace death shake videos?
Well, Grimace was a creepy character to begin with.
So that's the story. A youth in a kid in our youth group at church was like, no, Grimace was a monster.
Yeah, he was kind of creepy.
So anyway, but I'm sure McDonald's is loving it from the standpoint of, I'm sure they're selling all kinds of Grimace shakes to kids that are making ridiculous and weird.
They need to make a Hamburglar burger or something, like a burger themed after the Hamburglar or something like that.
Yeah. All right, my favorite one. Bouncing over to you, Funko Pro Greg Walden, what do you got?
All right. Well, we'll start out with some jokes. Did I tell you that I have a joke about construction?
Oh, no.
I can't tell it to you because I'm still working on it.
Yes.
there's not very many things in life you can count on. But there's one thing you could always count on.
God.
Your fingers.
Oh.
Well, I ain't got to, but got,
yes,
your
yes.
fingers. Yesterday, I went to the store and bought a pair of Velcro sneakers, but they were a total ripoff. What do you think the most remarkable invention ever created was by humans?
A tire?
Nope.
A pencil?
Nope.
I don't know. Mountain Dew.
The dry erase board. The most remarkable.
Yes. There you go. Coming to a stand-up comedy club near you, Greg Walden.
I take lettuce and tomatoes, please. Especially tomatoes. My wife loves tomatoes.
Awesome. Okay.
And also,
you're the master of horrible jokes, Greg Walden.
Hey, somebody's got to do it. So... last year, if you're in the realm of video games, most people, us played video games back in our childhood. Me, I'm so old. I remember
NES. Super
NES. I remember when the Atari 2600 came out. That's how old.
Yeah.
So the Atari has got the most successful business plan of any video game industry.
Okay.
You can compete. They can go up against Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony.
Okay.
Think about this. every time they can release the same game for 50 years and people will flood to buy it.
Yeah. Is Atari still a company? I was looking that up here.
Yeah, they're still a company.
Yeah, Atari.com. You can go to the website.
Yeah,
because still making games.
Last year, they released the Atari 50th anniversary celebration. I think it's for the Switch and Xbox, but there's a, for different. I know they have for the Switch. But it's based, and they have a few new games on them. I mean, they did remaster some of the games, which is pretty neat. But mostly it's the same games over and over again. Like you go to Walmart and they had the little, the little flashbacks. It's just, they sell the same games over and over for 50 years, and people will still flood to buy them.
Yeah.
What other video game company could do the same thing?
I'm on their website, Atari.com. Looks like you can buy shirts. Games. They have this VCS all-in bundle.
Yeah. Yep, and it's got the same games.
Atari returns to the living room with the Atari VCS, completely modern gaming and video computer system, blending the past of consoles and PCs to a delightful whole new generation of gamers and creators.
So they can play the same games that we played when we were 50 years, and they've been
Does it have all the games on it? That's what I'm trying to
figure. I don't know if they have all of them, but I'm sure they have most a lot of the popular ones.
Wow.
My favorite Atari game of all time my favorite Atari game of all time is Adventure.
Okay. I don't remember what my Atari one is. I mean, I remember did have Atari, but I'm a little more in the NES range of getting baptized in video games. So,
yep. I mean, I remember the NES. I was my graduation present when Dad bought me an NES.
It's $224, $225, the VCS all-in-one bundle. So there you go.
Yeah, just Atari, I'm telling you, they sell the same stuff. and they're raking it in. That's again, I don't care what Sony, Microsoft, or what's the other one? Sony, Microsoft, or...
PlayStation?
Sony, PlayStation, Microsoft, or Nintendo.
Oh, Nintendo.
Yeah, none of them can ever do the same thing Atari did. 50 years from now, they're not going to be able to sell the original Mario. They may be able to do the original Mario, but they're not to the extent Atari's done with their games.
Yeah. Awesome. Atari.
Good old Atari.
Anything else there, brother?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
This one's about our buddy Elon Musk.
Oh, Elon. The big cage fight coming up between Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg.
So that's actually going
to
happen?
I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I think they want it to happen. Like, I think they're game for it. I think it'll be interesting. It's going to be super lame. Like, these are not professional fighters.
Right, yeah.
So as a fight fan, which I am, this is going to be a lame fight. But I'll pay to see it. I'll pay the $60.
I would root for
or go half.
I like Elon Musk more than I do Mark Zuckerberg, so I would be in Musk's corner on that one.
Well, they showed a picture that I don't know. It probably won't ever happen, but they did have a picture of the day. They had Elon Musk was training with George St. Pierre, and anyway, they'll probably do some smack talk and that kind of thing.
Good times. But this concerns SpaceX, and of course, I have a Starlink. Internet, which is awesome. I mean, being out 7 miles out in the country, it's the best internet you can get out there.
Mm-hmm.
But they're running into a conflict with astronomers.
Okay.
Because all these satellites, because they got estimated, what, several?
Oh, I've heard this before.
Okay, you've heard that. Okay,
so yep, it's starting to mess around with their view of space and those kind of things, and they're getting frustrated about it.
Because the satellites, electronics are actually emitting some radiation that's interfering with their equipment. And I guess SpaceX is trying to address the concern by adjusting the satellites to make it where it doesn't, interfere so much. But, that's an interesting conflict that you didn't realize. I mean, I understand they're in competition with Amazon, and there's another company that wants to launch satellites, but you would think there'd be conflict there. But now it's just astronomers like, hey, man, we can't really – I mean, every time we go up there to do our – time-lapse, getting all these little trails from satellites going across.
I think what's interesting, this is going back to a podcast I listened to a while ago now, is just basically when it comes to all that space stuff is the regulatory. There's so much regulatory type aspects yet to unfold, and how are we going to regulate all of these kind of things? Right. A lot of dynamics that we could care less about, but if you're an astronomer, that's a big deal.
Well, and also they're saying that each Starlink satellite has to dodge like dozens of objects every day while it's in orbit.
Wow. All right. This one is my grandma, Johnson. She never listens to the podcast, I'm sure. But I can actually pull these up now, basically on what we're streaming here, because we're streaming live. Let's see if I can pull this up on the screen. I found this one to be interesting. I can pull this up if you guys are watching. Check this out. Ryan Seacrest named new host of Wheel of Fortune. I say shout out to my grandma because my grandma is huge Wheel of Fortune fan. So I didn't see this coming out of the blue. Ryan Seacrest, host of Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, I guess Pat Sajak decided to retire after, after 40 years or so.
Ryan Seacrest will take his place as the new host of Wheel of Fortune 2024. Sony Pictures Television, the company that produced the game show, announced on Tuesday in a news release sent to CNN. Seacrest has signed a multi-year agreement with the show and will also serve as consulting producer. The release dates, I'm truly humbled, step into this, blah, blah, blah. Pat Sajak for 40 years. Pat Sajak, 40 years. Doing the show. Vanna White's still going to be there. So you can read through this article.
They are actually keeping Vanna White on, because I thought I read something with that. They were unsure if she is going to continue or not.
Yeah, is serving as the host of the Emmy-winning game show alongside co-host Vanna White for 40 years. Sajak and White stand as two long-serving hosts. My understanding is yes, from what I have read thus far. There was a little bit of a debate as far as some wanted Vanna White to become the host.
Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, it would have been a nice advancement for me. At least, I probably would have liked, but of course, Ryan Seacrest, he's kind of like the staple now.
Yeah. He's got to be one of the richest people ever.
Yeah.
I mean, he, like, American Idol.
Yeah.
Kelly Ripa.
Yeah.
He has, like, a radio show.
Yeah, he's
he is the producer of, like, the Kardashians, is my understanding. Like, he has got to be worth boatloads of money.
He could be our version of Scrooge McDuck.
And these jobs are like, I don't have it right in front of me, but I think Pat Sajak was making about 15 mil a year.
Yeah, 40 at the time is 40. Well, if you take that,
just ridiculous amounts of money. And the other thing that they were mad about was Vanna White was only making like 8 million, and they wanted her to get a bump in pay, which is
I would go turn numbers for 8 million. I wouldn't gripe.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want, I'll do it for 8 million.
Yeah.
Call me.
It's great. I've seen though, and one time I read an article of the numbers on what the Price is Right. These guys are, that's the plush job. Like, if you want a good job, Wheel of Fortune, Price is Right. Because basically what happens is these guys only do the job like 4 months a year.
Yeah.
Like, they go, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, especially the Price is Right, they record like 4 shows a day or something, 4 or 5 shows a day for like 3 months, and then you're done, and then you get like $15, $20 million.
I do that.
That's why Bob Barker did it for so long. He's like, this money is way too good.
Why would you not? I mean,
best job ever. And Bob Barker's the man. So shout out to Ryan Seacrest. I don't know. I'm kind of happy to see Pat Sajak go. I don't know who else you would have got in there. Vanna White. Who else would have you got in there? I don't know. Well, I can't really visualize. Well, Steve Harvey. No.
Drew Carey, but he's already doing the press.
Drew Carey. No. Anyway. There we go.
Tom Brady. He's probably looking.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Tom Brady. That would have been interesting. Although that would have been overrated, because it would have been like, he's really not good. You know what I'm saying? Those football players that have good personalities and stuff like that, you think like, oh, they could be a good actor, or it's kind of like Gronkowski, Rob Gronkowski. Like, he has this great on-field personality, but when he's been on other TV shows and stuff, it's like,
well, Tom Brady's doing the Hertz. He's doing the Hertz commercials now.
Yeah. Tom Brady's a good commercial guy. Shout out to him. I think the kingpin of commercials and TV who's been great is Peyton Manning.
Yeah, yep.
He has a company called Omaha Productions now. Yeah. He has like his own production company. He's doing all kinds of shows, spinoffs, networking with ESPN and those kind of things. So
yeah, he's done pretty good.
All right, spiritual talk to wrap up the day here, guys. Not a super long one. I'm actually getting ready to go to Mexico on a missions trip, so you guys can pray for me. I'm departing tomorrow. I'll be gone for 1 week preaching the gospel there in Mexico, a place called Querétaro, which is about 2.5 hours north of Mexico City. Is where we'll be at. We'll be doing some conferences for young people. That'll be lots and lots of fun. So anyway, kind of what I've been munching on a lot. I'm taking a class right now for missions, and I go to Ozark Christian College for the master's program. So this has been my first almost now full year of being a student, and it's been very challenging. I am straight A student so far, so hopefully I can keep the streak alive. Help me, Lord. But anyway, I'm studying a lot about missions, and specifically the life of Paul. You know, Paul was the guy, he was a missionary in terms of, he was the one who wanted to take the gospel everywhere. And so he was in a lot of different dynamics. You know, he was, if you go to Paul, he was in front of people that were worshiping a lot of other gods, different cultures. But the one thing I love, which I can pull it up on the screen here if you're watching live, but anyway, it's just the one scripture that I've been thinking about a lot. This is coming out of BibleHub.com. It's where you can get a lot of different versions, but it just simply says, I am not, Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. But, you know, as I was reading through some material this week, that just that simple thought captured me, that Paul, you know, because we live in a society where it's like, you know, you can't, you got to kind of hide God a little bit, you know, don't be overt. You know, don't talk about Jesus in the workplace, right. You know, or manage, you know, don't share your opinion on moral things. And I think, you know, when I was just reading through the life of Paul, I don't think Paul would be ashamed. He wouldn't be ashamed of who Jesus was in this culture. No. You know, hey, you have to respect other people's gods and, you know, their belief systems, right? We're in this whole frame of mind now in our culture. And we're not necessarily talking about being jerks to people and, just, no. You know, waking up every day and shouting from the rooftops, you're all going to hell. But Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. He was willing to go into very difficult arenas. He was willing to stand up in front of scholars, philosophers, leaders, political leaders. And he was like, listen, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the way.
But you look at Paul's background. Paul was one of those character guys in the New Testament that was at both extremes of our existence. He was the worst of sinners. Before he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he was an active persecutor, hunter, persecutor of Christians. I mean, he was the worst of the worst that you could imagine. And then after he met Jesus, he became the person that wrote most of the New Testament. So he went from one extreme to another extreme. He had the biggest, probably the biggest transformation you could almost picture of anybody in the Bible.
Yeah.
And so you understand where he comes from. He's like, he had a radical transformation. I mean, from one of the worst to one of the most devoted apostles of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so when you start reading, like, I'm not ashamed, because he knew where he came from. And he wasn't a country bumpkin. He was educated. I mean, he was part of the Pharisee class. He was educated. He was well versed. He knew the law of, you know, that the Jewish people lived under while he was serving the Pharisaical system. So he was very well educated.
Yeah.
And so that education he was able to build on it. Well, obviously with the faith and when he became a Christian, he got saved. I mean, he had that background that he had, that God used that background and transformed him, and he became one of the best apostles that you see in the Bible for Christ.
Yeah. I showed a video last night at church to our congregation, and one of the big talking points the individual in the video made came from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. We don't necessarily know that this was his direct quote, but here's what it says. It says, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. But so what he was saying is he was kind of speaking that he was speaking to the German church during Hitler in that time frame, and that the Christian church remained silent and let those things unfold.
Well, actually, they may say, but there's a lot of the churches that actually supported Hitler.
Yeah,
during his rise to power.
Yep.
So yeah, it's
some supported, some I don't want to lose, you know, they just kind of they followed the flow of culture and what was happening, and it wasn't right. And so he's basically saying silence. I think that's powerful. Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. And what I'm trying to make in terms of I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ is what he was getting at is like sometimes we have to stand for the truth and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's the excuse we can make. Well, I guess I've used this before, but like, you know, I don't want to be political. I don't want to be, who cares? We have to stand for truth, whether it sounds political or not political. It's the truth of God's word. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the source of salvation. Jesus is the only thing that can change our culture. I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Right. And the Bible says that the gospel is an offense to those who are perishing. So if you're not offending anybody as a Christian, you're not preaching the gospel. And it's not that we seek to go offend people. It's not we're not seeking to hurt people. But the simple fact of preaching the full gospel, you're going to offend them because people don't want to hear it. John 3:19, the world was it John 3:19 said, the world does not come to light because they love their darkness. And in essence, people don't want to come to Jesus because they love their sin. So you're preaching the gospel to people who are in darkness. A lot of those who don't want to come to the light, they love their sin. They love where they're at. I mean, because obviously they're, you know, like the Bible says, you know, wide is the road that leads to destruction. Many go therein. Few that be that narrow is the road that leads to life, and few be that find it. I mean, the Bible itself admits that, you know, in the bigger picture, that most people are going to choose the path to the destruction.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the most humbling scriptures there is, that even God admits that most people are going to go to hell. I mean, that's just straight up, put it in, you know, straight up in plain English. Most people are going to choose hell because they love darkness.
Yeah. The one you referenced, you were actually right there. Good job, Greg Walden, bringing it up on the screen. If you're watching the live stream, it says John 3:19, this is the judgment, that is the cause for indictment, the test by which people are judged, the basis for the sentence. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Is that where you're going at?
Yep. And so you're going out to the world full of people who love their darkness, because you're preaching it. Because obviously, I don't mean if I go out into Carthage right now to Walmart, I don't know what that person, you know, what if they love darkness, if they want to, if they're open. I don't know if that person's open to gospel or not. But mm-hmm. You're still preaching to that. You're still presenting the gospel, and there's going to be people that say, you know what, they'll come up, punch you, slap you, call you names, put you down, whatever, because they don't want to hear the good news. They consider us wackos or holy rollers, Jesus freaks, whatever they want to call us. But you have to stand. You know, God calls us to preach the gospel.
Yeah, not ashamed.
You know, and then look at the apostles. Eleven of the 12 disciples were martyred for the decision to follow Jesus and preach mm-hmm. the gospel. So you're not going into a mission field where you're going to be popular. That's just straight up. You're not going to be popular.
I love it. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. And in a culture where everything in our culture is trying to really suppress the gospel, and we know it's the devil, we know it's right. Satan in all of these facets of our culture, we have to stand up. And I'm just committed to that. I'm convicted by it, you know, that I'm not going to just let evil just dominate our life, my family, you know, these kind of things. But it's time for the believers and the church to rise up
they have to.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Because, you know, you, if you keep your eye on the ground, so like up in Canada, if you look up the Canadian law C4.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it's already passed.
Glad I'm not Canadian.
It is law. And pastors, there's a whole bunch of pastors up in Canada asking pastors in America to pray for them, because now they're going to become criminals. Because the law states that you cannot convert a homosexual. Which means if you as a pastor up in Canada preach the gospel and the homosexual gets saved, you've converted that person. And mm-hmm. now you're a criminal.
Wow.
So that,
guys, this stuff is real, man. It truly is real. And, you know, certain liberal parts of the country, we're not in a super liberal part of the country, praise God, yet here in Southwest Missouri. But those things are coming, and we have to stand for them.
Just because you think you're in a red state, like mm-hmm. even Missouri, you cannot assume, oh, it'll never happen here. No.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you're just one election away from it happening here.
Yeah. Wow. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God and it's for the salvation of all mankind. So there you go, guys. Amen. We had some fun talking news, sports, and God. I'm going to Mexico.
I'm praying for you.
I'll eat a taco for every single one of you guys. We're going to go eat some lunch right now.
You're going to get the real tacos, man.
That's right. Talk to you guys next time.